Hey, everybody, it's Brian Fritz here on the Between the Ribs podcast. I figured since we did a bonus podcast Sunday morning previewing WWE TLC and all the changes to that lineup, that I do another bonus podcast here on Monday morning recapping TLC. Because there was a lot coming off that show, and it'll be interesting to see where they go going forward. And also gives me a good reason to include my interview I did recently with Matt Morgan, who now is basically done with wrestling, and he is actually running for public office here in Central Florida. So that will be coming up here in just a little while. But first, some talk about TLC and where WWE could be going off of that. Now, Michael and I will be talking more in depth about the show coming up in the regular weekly podcast on Wednesday night. But I did want to go over a couple of things here on the show. It was a good show. I wouldn't say it was a great show, but I would say it was a good show. The main things, obviously, were the main event and then the added match of AJ Styles and Finn Balor. So when it comes to the main event, you've got Kurt Angle coming back. First time in 11 years, he's back in a WWE ring. So he is taking Roman Reigns' spot, teaming with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins against Kane, Braun Strowman, Sheamus, Cesaro, and The Miz, the handicap TLC match. I thought Kurt Angle looked great. He looked really good. And I thought WWE and Angle were very smart in the way that they protected him throughout this match. I mean, he obviously took some bumps and everything, but he looked really good out there. I thought it was done very well. I was a little bit surprised that he came out in the flap jacket and came out through the crowd with Rollins and Ambrose. And I know that they gave him the flap jacket before they did the big entrance. So I was a little bit surprised by that. I thought they would have Angle come out with his music down the ramp, like a normal entrance, and he would get this massive pop. And they did get a huge pop when they came out, but I guess there was a reason why they held off on that. But, you know, on this night, the symbolism was supposed to be that Kurt Angle, the Raw GM, making his return, was an honorary member of the Shield. So you've got this handicap match, and, it's like this wild brawl. It's TLC. You've got the tables and the ladders and the chairs. And about a third of the way into it, because this match went like 35 minutes, I believe. So at one point, they had a table set up on the floor, and Braun Strowman picked up Kurt Angle and did his running power slam through the table at ringside. And the trainers came out, refs came out, they're checking on Angle, and now they got to get him out there. And it looks like he's dead. And you've got Booker T going crazy on the broadcast, talking about how Angle should have never come back. They should have never allowed him to be a part of this match. And then it's a 5-on-2. The heels are just beating down Rollins and Ambrose. And at one point, Kane accidentally hits Braun Strowman with a chair. And as you can imagine, Braun Strowman did not take too kindly to that. So even though the other heels tried to make peace with him, it just continued. And the next thing you know, there's a fight between Kane and Strowman. And then also at one point during all this, because Sheamus and Cesaro and Miz are fighting Ambrose and Cesaro, the Miz, for whatever reason, as this fight's going out to the stage, calls for a garbage truck to come out. Yeah, a garbage truck. So a garbage truck comes out and it's by the ramp. So everybody's still fighting and everything. And Kane and Strowman are fighting up the ramp. Kane actually choke slammed Strowman off the stage into like this part next to it. It was like this hole. And then Kane unhooked these chairs that were hanging up in the air above this hole as part of the set. So he unhooks it, and like these five chairs, maybe it was six, but a bunch of chairs come crashing down on Strowman, or it's led to believe that they hit Strowman. You never see the chairs actually hit him because he's down in this hole, but like a couple of these chairs are like, 10, 15, 20 feet up in the air. So, he gets leveled by these chairs, and they later show Strowman laying there with all these chairs on top of him and whatnot. And so now, the heels have got, Ambrose and Rollins beating them up some more. They're putting a double choke slam them through tables, and they take them over to the garbage truck, and Strowman gets up, and Kane, looks at him, and Miz looks at him, and Miz is pleading with him like, "Hey man, there's five of us. Don't do this." And Strowman's fighting back against all of the heels, and they stop him. and they throw them in the garbage truck and they close the truck like it's a trash compactor. You know, they're compacting it, and it, you know, they're trying to make this this moment where like Braun Strowman is getting killed, which the fans actually chanted at one point, "This is murder." So that was a little bit goofy, to say the least. But even Michael Cole, I believe, said this is completely beyond sports entertainment, which, yeah, that's about right. And then so now it's a 4-on-2, and Kurt Angle's music hits and people go crazy. And here comes Kurt. He's like holding his midsection, but Kurt is a fighting man. This is his big opportunity. So he comes out. Sheamus and Cesaro go after him, like as he's coming down the rampway, and he hits them both with Olympic slams. In fact, there's two tables, one on each side of the rampway next to the barricade, and it looks like he wants to put him through both of the tables, or at least I thought so. He grabbed Sheamus, and I don't know if he was supposed to put him through the table or not, but he gave him an Olympic slam right in the middle of the floor. It looked like he murdered him too. I think that looked more like murder than throwing somebody into the garbage truck, in fact. And then so Sheamus is down and he grabs Cesaro. He gave him an angle slam through one of the tables there. So now Cesaro's out and they get in the ring. The Miz at one point sneaks up behind Kurt Angle, hits the skull crushing finale, covers him. Angle kicks out. Miz is freaking out at this point. Angle counters into the angle lock or the ankle lock. Looks like it's over. Miz somehow gets out of this, gets to the floor. Now Rollins and Ambrose are back and they're fighting. And at one point, even before I think that happened, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. There was just a wild brawl. But at one point, Rollins and Ambrose run Kane through the timekeeper's area. So now Kane's out of it and Sheamus and Cesaro are out of it. And the three members of the Shield, for this night at least, surround Miz in the ring, and they all give him their finishers, basically. So Rollins hits him with the high knee. Ambrose gives him dirty deeds. Angle hits the Olympic slam, and boom, there's the pin. Kurt Angle pins the Miz and gets the victory. So a little bit weird, a little bit wacky, but it was a wild match, and for the most part, it was good. Like I said, the garbage truck, they could have done without. So now it's pretty obvious we're going to get Kane against Braun Strowman. I don't know if you'd really call this a babyface turn for Braun Strowman, but it could be. It could be. I mean, now he's got a new set of opponents, obviously, to work with now. So that's where they're going with Braun. I probably expect him to even be on Raw tonight. As weird as that is, after they tried to murder the man in the garbage truck and compact him up like trash. So, you know, he'll be back. I wonder if they're even going to do Kane against Strowman tonight on Raw. I wouldn't be surprised, because this is going to be, I believe they're going to really try to boost up Raw tonight. And there's a couple other things that they could do, because Roman Reigns is obviously ill, wasn't on the show. He's got a viral infection, just like Bray Wyatt and just like Bo Dallas. WWE is still checking everybody else in the locker room and giving them a shot and hoping that nobody else has to miss time because of this. But Roman's not going to be on the show tonight. He might not be on the show next week. So WWE has got to account for that. Plus, they have Kurt Angle now back in the ring. I don't know if they're going to explain it as this was just a one-night thing that Kurt Angle came back. And I'm just throwing this out there, you know, as somebody that watches WWE for a long time, I would not be surprised if they did a big angle tonight involving Kurt Angle and him being the Raw general manager, or maybe the heels would say, you know, he's not fit to be the GM. He's not going to be fair. He's not going to be impartial. I could see the Miz going off on a rant like that. And maybe this will lead to a new GM. Maybe the new GM would be there tonight. I could even see Stephanie McMahon back as the GM of Raw. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just theorizing this. It would make sense. Now, whether or not you want to see Stephanie back on TV, that's a whole nother argument, but I could see something like this happening. Or if not Stephanie, another heel, but Stephanie to me seems to make the most sense if they're going to make a change there. Now Kurt going forward, I don't think he's going to wrestle a ton, obviously, but could he wrestle on Raw tonight? Yeah. I mean, They could do, obviously, Angle against Miz. I think they want to build up for that. I think they could do a little bit of a TLC rematch, because I could see Ambrose and Rollins and Kurt Angle teaming up against Sheamus, Cesaro, and Miz on the show. And we'll see if they do that. I don't know if they're going to do that tonight or not, but I could easily see that. And then we're going to get Kane against Braun Strowman. Maybe they'll do that tonight as well. If not, they're going to feud at least for a little while. And I would fully expect, if Kurt is not wrestling on Raw tonight or in the next couple of weeks, he'll be at Survivor Series. And they'll do a 4-on-4, maybe a 5-on-5 match with Kurt Angle involved. And then maybe they'll hold off on Kurt Angle against The Miz for a 1-on-1 match until December. It's funny them saying that they're going to hold off on a match, because, come on, does WWE hold off on anything now? No. Come on. They're going to give it away on TV at some point, and probably sooner rather than later. So we'll see. Hopefully they build up to that, because that could be a pretty big match, actually. The other big match on TLC was AJ Styles and Finn Balor. This is a really, really good match. Really good match. I thought they were going to go a little bit longer. I thought they're going to get like 25, 30 minutes. But I mean, they went like 18 minutes, and they just had a really good, strong wrestling match that you can't complain about. Fans were geeked about this. They were chanting, "This is awesome," even before the match began. At the end of it, Finn Balor got the win. Styles went for a springboard 450 splash. Finn got out of the way, running dropkick, coup de grace, got the clean win after the match. I believe they shook hands. I know that they definitely did the too sweet. Crowd was going nuts for it. So they did the too sweet hand gesture, and people were going crazy. So really, really good match. And let's see if they do anything more off this. I hope that they do. I'm not gonna have an argument with AJ Styles and Finn Balor having more matches. This has probably been the best match that Balor's had in a while. And I want to see it continue because of that, because I want to see Finn Balor continue to have great opponents and really good matches. Like the last match he had with Bray Wyatt was the best match that those two have had, but it wasn't to this level. And I'm not going to put the blame on any one person, but AJ Styles, is one of the best wrestlers in the world. Finn Balor is an extremely good wrestler as well. So I like seeing really good wrestlers face one another, and I want to see these guys go against one another more often. So, as for the rest of the show, Asuka's debut, she won. She beat Emma. Longer match than I would have thought. A back and forth match. So that was a little bit surprising, but Asuka looked really good. Alexa Bliss retained the women's championship against Mickie James. Solid match. Nothing crazy. Enzo won the Cruiserweight Championship against Kalisto. The crowd sat on their hands. They hated this match. It was really nothing to it. You had these weird things, too, where Elias kept trying to sing, and Jason Jordan twice came out and was throwing produce at him for some reason, and I don't know what the hell was going on there. And then they ended up having a match with kind of a weird finish, and Jason Jordan got the win. And what match am I missing here? Oh, Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher, Rich Swann, Cedric Alexander, Babyfaces won. That was a good, solid match. There was nothing wrong with that, so... I mean, the show was fine. The two main matches delivered. It got a bit wacky, in the main event, but Kurt looked really good. He looked really good. And, he's just itching to get back in the ring. They're not going to have him wrestle every week, but I'm going to be curious to see how much he's wrestling going forward. If they have him on Raw tonight, and, what kind of storyline that they do off of this, because there's some easy things that they could do off of this show. And I don't know if Kurt's going to be the Raw general manager going forward. Obviously, they could just say, hey, you know what? It was a one night thing, and he is the GM, and it gives The Miz another reason to complain each and every week. Or they could do a storyline like I proposed, where they could remove him from being the GM and just say you're now an active performer. So we'll see what direction they go in going forward. And then as far as Reigns, so he's out of the show, or he's off for at least a week. There's a good chance. Or there's a chance he's not going to be on Raw next week as well. So we'll see exactly what's going on with him. And when he can come back, the sooner the better, I'm sure, for WWE. But they have to adjust now with some storylines with him, sidelined with this illness. And hopefully it doesn't affect anybody else there with the company. So, all right, that's the quick TLC recap. Coming up next, my conversation with Matt Morgan, of course, formerly of WWE and Impact Wrestling, as he is moving on to another phase in his life, as he is now running for public office here in Central Florida. I talked to Matt, I want to say probably about a week ago, as you know, he is campaigning right now, and he is hoping to win office here in the Central Florida area. So here's my conversation with Matt Morgan. He is the former WWE and Impact Wrestling star, now running for city commission in Longwood and Sumner County in Central Florida. Matt Morgan, the election's taking place on Tuesday, November 7th. So, Matt, now you are running for public office. Are you officially a politician, or are you someone running for office?
Lord, no, I'm no politician. I think that's pretty obvious. Anybody that knows me or sees me. Yeah, I'm just one of my fellow citizens that has had enough and wants to step up to the plate and put my money where my mouth is. It's easy to sit on the sidelines and armchair quarterback that, oh, I would do this or I would do that, you know, when you see what's going on in the city. And it's double pronged here. It's one, I want to step up and put my money where my mouth is. And the other is I want to use my celebrity for my city, you know, for good. You know, I've done it in other cities all across the country, hell, all across the world, in foreign countries even as well, Australia, Japan, China. You know, we've done so many charity events, you know, it's hard to even remember all of them. I've done over hundreds. And it becomes to a point where you get old enough and you have a child and you're like, well, what am I doing about my own city? What am I doing to make my city where my son is going to grow up? As you know, my son is nonverbal autistic on the spectrum, moderate to severe. And I want to be able to give him every opportunity afforded to him here in the city. And it starts at the very top, in my opinion. And I want to be one of the five different commissioners that decide these things that go on in our city.
Was there a tipping point that made you decide, I'm finally going to do something and I'm going to run for the seat?
I've been being asked to run for this spot, I swear to God, for the last 5 years. Brian, you're from the wrestling business, you know, originally, and you know how fans, when they find your address, they'll put your 8x10 in your mailbox or whatnot. They want you to sign it, or yeah, they somehow find your address, and you get kind of scared. But nonetheless, what happened here, for the last 5 years, I've been being asked by my neighbors, people in Winn-Dixie, people at the Shell gas station on the street. Everywhere I go, I've been asked by hundreds of people, Matt, please run for commissioner. We need somebody that's going to be one of us and represent one of us, finally, not these career politicians. Our city's going downhill. For 5 years, they've been saying that. And I didn't feel comfortable doing it at first because I didn't do my due diligence. I didn't look into what I needed to look into and do my homework. And once I started doing that, I was just flabbergasted with the state of affairs here in Longwood and just how, I don't know the word to use here, but in my opinion, there's a lot of dirty politics happening here in the city, and I'm ashamed of it. I'm embarrassed, in a way, to even be a part of the election because of these dirty tactics that are going on, which we'll get into. But the real reason I wanted to run, again, was because the citizens for the last 5 years have been asking me to, leaving index cards in my mailbox asking me to, leaving sticky post-it notes on my front door asking me to, same thing on my garage, on my front windshield of my truck, my wife's car even. I'm not exaggerating. Over hundreds of people saying, Matt, you really need to step up for us. Can you please help out? You don't understand what's happening here. I got over hundreds of those. So finally, I was like, you know what? I'm retired from the ring. I'm home a lot more now. I work a normal 9-to-5 job. It's actually longer than 9-to-5, but, you know, I sell aesthetic laser equipment. And, and so it's like I'm home in the morning, I'm home at night. So, you know, I did my due diligence, did my homework, saw what was going on in the city. And I was like, you know what? Enough. I'm going to step up to the plate. And again, put my money where my mouth is and start to make the changes these people are dying for someone to step in and make.
You said that there obviously has been a lot of support for you to run for this office, but you have obviously a background in professional wrestling that can be frowned upon by some people. Was there any... anything that you thought, like, you know, I don't know if people are going to take me seriously, or does my background in wrestling hurt as I'm running for, public office?
I think because the precedent has been set before me by, you know, Jesse Ventura, B. Brian Blair, you know, Glenn Jacobs currently running for Knox County mayor. Anybody listen to this that lives there needs to get out and vote for Glenn, by the way. Super intelligent man with a great heart, cares about the environment. But others have laid the groundwork for this, in my opinion. Even The Rock, you know, even Dwayne Johnson doing what he's doing. He's probably right now, what, the most famous man in the world, I would say. At least in America, he is. And it just goes to show you that professional wrestlers are not just limited to that. There's other avenues that they could take to continue to make a world a better place, you know, and that's not to sound like a cliche, but I really believe that, you know, even someone like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, I think people don't want to see politicians anymore in office. They want to see one of them. So while sure, some can look at me as a celebrity, a professional athlete or whatever you want to call me, but my neighbors know me as Matt, the really tall, big guy that's got their backs. And I'm one of them, you know, I'm the guy standing behind them in Winn-Dixie. I'm the guy that's, holding the door open for an older woman, you know, coming up, you know, coming out of, one of the restaurants here, you know, that's what they know me as. And I don't think wrestling has hurt me in any way, shape or form in that regard. Now, I will say this though, we have a lawyer here by the name of Matt Morgan that lives here, you know, from Morgan and Morgan. And I will say this much, when people just see the sign, my sign that say Matt Morgan for Commissioner in District 4, a lot of them assume it's Matt Morgan, the attorney, because again, this is a very small city here, right? And a lot of our vote is decided by, I would say anywhere from the age of 50 to 80 years old, our super voters here. So they're not the ones that are going to be really watching wrestling to begin with. So they're going to assume it's Matt Morgan, the attorney. And so I've got a lot of the time when I'm knocking on doors, I immediately started off with, I am not Matt Morgan, the attorney. I am, you know, I'm Matt Morgan, the professional wrestler, which I don't know which is better. And, you know, they start laughing and break the ice. And I just start, you know, getting to know them immediately.
I think we all see the current political climate on a national stage. And no matter where you sit, I think it can be very unsettling for a lot of people. How would you compare the political climate going on right now to what the climate is politically on a local level?
You know what's crazy about where we live? It's, first of all, Longwood is a 6-mile radius city. It is small, right? In the big picture, it's tiny when we talk, you know, geographically speaking. But it ironically, in my opinion, is a huge tipping point of what's happening here in the U.S. as a whole politically. Because if you remember, all these elections generally are won and lost out of Florida, specifically Central Florida, specifically Seminole County. And I'm being serious right now. If you really look into it, specifically now here in the Longwood, Lake Mary Heathrow area, it's incredible that it's that detailed that you could break it down if you keep drilling down and doing your research. So what happened? So we, in my opinion, here in Longwood have a huge responsibility in, not to make us sound arrogant here, obviously, but we have a huge responsibility in doing the right thing, because that is going to be the tipping point in certain directions with the U.S. Over the entire United States, politically speaking. It's crazy when you really break it down. If you do your research, you'll see what I'm saying. It's insane, the responsibility we have here.
I know you're trying to unseat the District 4 Commissioner Mark Weller. One of the things that he has continually said when it comes to yourself and you running against him, he has said he will not support any gambling expansion at the Sanford Orlando Kennel Club. And he repeatedly talks about how you have received a big donation from them. talk about that a little bit and what exactly is going on with that situation, especially for that one particular item that's going on.
Yeah. Well, Mark really messed up by putting that out on Facebook the day before it was released. There was a mailer that was released. To people that don't live in Longwood that are listening to this, here's the story. There was a mailer that was put out in the mail saying how I received a $1,000 campaign contribution from the American Kennel Club Association. Okay? First of all, your job is to go out and try to raise money from local businesses, friends, and families. You cannot receive anything more than $1,000 per entity, okay, per business or per person, right, in this election. Well, Penn Gaming, Penn Games, would be the one I would talk to or receive money from if I was any somewhat interested in having a casino brought into our city. American Greyhound Association has absolutely zero to do with any ability to bring in a casino here to Longwood. So it's not even conjecture. It's not even conjecture that they put out in the mail. It's a straight up 100% bold-faced lie. And I was so ashamed to even be a part of this election, not being embarrassed by that because nobody here in Longwood bought it. It backfired on him terribly because on Facebook the day before, he posted that similar message about I'm not for casino style gaming brought in here to Longwood. It's going to raise our crime. How come that more than me for public safety if he wants to increase crime right here by bringing in a casino, which is just not true. I never said I want to bring in a casino, and I'm not taking money from anybody that can bring in a casino, you know? And by using that, so it backfired in his face. Even on his own page, people, like, blew up on him, but he's deleted him since. His own followers, his own supporters turned on him. And I thought it was ingenious on his part to actually be dumb enough to put that out on Facebook the day before that mailer went out, because it's not a coincidence. You know, I'm just supposed to believe he just randomly picked that out of the thin blue sky and said, wait a minute, Matt Morgan's for local gaming. He's for casinos. And then a day later, that smear campaign attempt goes out in the mail about me saying I'm for casinos. No, that's not a coincidence whatsoever. Look, I'm running for Longwood City Commissioner against a professional politician class. They've spent thousands and thousands upon thousands of dollars trying to slander me. And here's what it is at the end of the day. My campaign is focused on the issues facing our Longwood community, right? Our cops are underpaid, and we have the safest city in the county. You don't hear anything about out of my opponent's mouth about how underpaid they are. He's done nothing to contribute anything whatsoever to this situation and trying to remedy it as far as getting them what they're just due, what they're owed, because we are the lowest paid in Seminole County as far as the police go. Lake Mary, Castleberry, and Altamont Springs are all getting these all-star, right out of academy police officers, where the guys out of the academy and girls out of the academy do not want to come here. We have 6 unoccupied positions because of that. Seriously, nobody wants to be a Longwood police officer because of this. And so our men and women are basically doing the work of 2 people, when you think about it, and have to really bust their tail to keep our city the safest. And I almost think they're doing it to a degree in spite, because they know one day there's going to be a commissioner that's brought in that's going to finally get them taken care of and give them what they're owed, you know? And that's why they've endorsed me. Our police department has officially endorsed me, and our fire station has officially endorsed me. And the other thing is with this, you need to understand, what's happening here is with that mailer that went out about me being for casinos, which again is a lie, you know, there's a political committee that's connected with the Tampa GOP hatchet man, okay, who takes money from special interests and is trying to influence my city's election, you know? And because my opponent attacked me with the same exact message that those people mailed out, you know, I don't think that's a coincidence. I really don't. And they're getting exposed as we speak. There's more stories on the way out about publicly about how this election's being ran by dark money and special interest groups. Longwood, Brian, 6-mile radius, Longwood. First of all, these big time companies shouldn't even know how to spell the word Longwood, let alone have heard of it, let alone should be influenced our politics. We're getting the worst part of Tallahassee influence in our election, and it's disgusting, and I'm embarrassed, and again, I continue to be ashamed of my opponent because of this. It's a shame. It really is, because this is a really tight knit family community, and by them, you know, receiving campaign contributions from these types of people, you know, it and having them, you know, they're not stupid enough to be directly related to it. You know, it's a friend of a friend of a friend of a contact of a contact of a contact, obviously, that sends these things out. It's giving our city a black eye. Like, we're making news because, yes, I'm Matt Morgan, the pro wrestler who has a certain level of fame, so I'm going to draw national interest, right? So you would think they would be double careful with what they say about me, because if you don't say 100, if you want to slander me, you've got to put at least the truth out there, 100% of it, not a half story. You know, you can't say, oh, Matt Morgan got into a fight over here one day, and then they leave it at that. You have to say the whole story. And if you don't say the entire story in your mailers, I absolutely have multiple defamation of character lawsuits by my entertainment attorney. So it's just one of those things where I'm not going to be bullied. I'm not going to be intimidated. And at the end of the day, the citizens here are going to win out. I just need them all to come out and vote. That's a problem with this off-year election, Brian, is that what ends up happening is maybe 400 to 500 people will vote. You know, so what we're hoping is, you know, because of the interest, because you know of who I am, that we can get more voters out there because they believe in me and my message of taking care of our police officers and taking care of our firefighters, public safety. Our firefighters have to live in this horribly dilapidated fire station that they've outgrown. They've lost something like, I believe it's like 20 firefighters over the last just 4 or 5 years alone to neighboring fire departments because it floods. It's flooded again just the other week that I was there, and it was like a foot high. And I'm not even talking Hurricane Irma. They had to be evacuated out of there because of this, the way it's where it's structured and where it's built, and then what they've got building around it. It causes the station to continue to flood. It ruins their clothes. It ruins their beds. And it's inhumane. Like, I was talking to them, and they're like, we feel like we're, like, inhumanely being treated. Like, animals get treated better than us. And I was looking around, and I saw what the water had ruined. And I'm like, you're right. This is ridiculous. So I have an idea and a means to get them the heck out of that hellhole and brought to another spot here in Longwood that's going to be perfect for them. Everyone's going to love where it's located. And I'm not going to say where because then I'm showing my cards, right?
Well, having spent a lot of time previously in professional wrestling, we know how political that business can be, how seedy, how tough it can be. How would you compare that compared to the politics and running for public office?
The one thing with wrestling I always wish I had done was politically, especially in WWE, stand up more for myself. Right? I was taught to always have a backbone and stand up for yourself. But with WWE, I was given a golden opportunity at a very young age and passing by a lot of veterans at the time to get TV time. And they would, you know, say things behind my back to Vince or to the other decision makers there that, oh, he's not ready, or whatever they needed to say negatively about me to try to get my TV time reduced so they can get theirs. I wish I had spoken up more, you know, because I was so young and green and naive, you know. So when I went to TNA, I definitely was ready, you know, to quote unquote play the game and do what I needed to do to not just go out there and entertain the fans. That's not the whole job. You've got to be able to go backstage and handle yourself politically, like you said, and dodge a lot of those political minefields that are all over the place. I mean, yes. Our campaign has now, here in Longwood, the election rather, District 4, has gotten incredibly dirty. It's being ran by dirty money, unfortunately. But I will say this, I do not think it's that much harder than what I dealt with in wrestling. I do not. You know, wrestling is far different. These people act like they're your best friends, and you have to trust one another with each other's bodies and protecting each other and not injuring one another, even though you're trying to take that guy's spot, if you will. It's a lot more political, in my opinion, in wrestling. And I think that's why we fare pretty well when the time comes to be an elected official. But let me be clear about this. I am in no way, shape, or form a politician. I am the anti-politician. I am exactly what we need in office because I am a doer, not a talker. My opponent, you don't hear anything out of his mouth about our police situation. You don't hear anything out of his mouth about our fire station. He hasn't even visited them. It's like, it's right down the street from, you know, our city hall. How hard would it be to order a bunch of pizzas and walk over there and say, guys, I know what you're going through. This absolutely sucks. We're doing what we could to get you guys out of here. Please continue to be patient. You shouldn't have to be dealing with this. That just took me 30 seconds to say. He doesn't do that. I've been by there 25 times, even before my election, even before I announced my candidacy, you know, because it's just the right thing to do. I know I have a certain influence and a responsibility as a role model, you know, and I take that very seriously, man. And they could continue to try to slander me and print half-truths and send out mailers that are half-truths, you know, but again, I'm definitely not going to take it. And more importantly, the best part about this, no one in our city believes it. Nobody. They really screwed up by doing this because they absolutely showed what they're willing to do to win an election. And if you're willing to do that, you're then manipulating the voters. And our city is an incredibly intelligent city. they didn't fall for it. And trust me, they came out in droves supporting me. And they'll continue to do it with the for sure, more dirty mailers that will be sent out about me. I guarantee you they're going to continue to come over the next 3 weeks. And nobody here in Longwood is going to believe it.
This is a very grassroots campaign that you're running. I mean, you're literally going door to door. I've seen different videos of you standing on the corners while it's pouring down rain, holding up support signs for yourself and your campaign. I know that this is tough. And I know that, like you said, there are political landmines that you run into. But are you having fun? Are you enjoying yourself?
When I have the opportunities to talk to, you know, my citizens, yeah, the citizens here in Longwood, I love it. It's fun. It's interesting. I feel like I can make a much larger difference than my opponent can, you know, because, again, I don't sit on my hands, you know. And that's the important thing here. I like Mark Weller. I get along with him. But at the end of the day, he just so happens to be running against me, you know. And you can't just sit on your hands with this position, man. You got to be a doer. He can't name one thing that he himself has taken from the beginning and saw through to completion that he brought up on behalf of the citizens that have asked him to vote on something or bring something to the table. I already told you about the police department, and I have a plan in place on how to get them financially taken care of and brought up to snuff with our neighboring cities, right? And I also have my plan to get the firefighters out of there, because if our city's not safe, Brian, guess what? Publix isn't going to be coming in here. Target's not going to be wanting to come in here. Walmart's not going to be wanting to come in here. Nobody's going to want to be coming in here. So they keep putting the cart before the horse by trying to develop, pieces of property and lands and businesses and et cetera. But it's like, if we're not safe, guess what? Nobody's going to come. Right now we're safe, but I assure you that trend of those 6 unoccupied positions is going to grow if somebody doesn't get voted in as commissioner to take care of them and make sure that doesn't continue to happen. We need to make being a Longwood police officer attractive, you know? When I was growing up, that was a very cool job to have, to want to be a police officer or firefighter. I mean, as a little boy, we all used to say that, I think. And nowadays, here in Longwood specifically, it's not like that anymore. And I think it's disgusting because these are our heroes. They literally risk their life every day. Anytime they pull somebody over, they're at risk of somebody pulling a gun on them. And we don't think they deserve to be paid at least what our neighboring cities are paying their police officers. Are you kidding me?
Whether you win this election as county commissioner or not, do you see this as just the beginning of a career for you in public office for years to come?
No, I want to be very clear about that. I mean, you know what? You never say never as far as you, because we don't know what the future holds, right? Nobody has a crystal ball. But I'm telling you, as of right now, I have no desire to climb any political ladder. I am just one of us. I'm one of our citizens that want to be put in office to be able to vote on our citizens' behalf, because that's not what's happening anymore. These guys have these egos and these big heads, and they think they know what's best, and they vote the way they want to vote that helps them personally, or that helps a favor for somebody that's donating to their campaign, etc., or their buddies that own a construction company, you know, things like that. You cannot do that. You cannot vote that way. You vote the way of the people. It's a very black and white job, Brian. I keep saying this to people. As a commissioner, if you're doing it right, your job is simple. Shut up, shut your mouth, open your ears, and listen to the citizens. Don't talk, listen to them. You know, and I'm not talking about showing up at, we have this thing called the food trucks that come into our city every so often, and a lot of our citizens go to that. Or we have a national night out at one of our baseball stadiums here that's incredible, and hundreds of our citizens go to that. There's bounce houses, all these fun things you can do there. Firefighters versus police department, softball games, things like that. That's a great opportunity to get inside the heads of our citizens as far as what they're thinking and what they want, right? But more so, your job doesn't end there, man. That's where me and my opponent, I feel, are different. I'm not going to those places for photo ops and then, oh, well, I did my due diligence and I leave 10 minutes later, okay? I think it doesn't end there. I think in the line at Winn-Dixie, you need to be asking questions. I think when you're filling up your gas, you need to be asking the person next to you, you know, their opinion on things. I think it's a group decision on how the voting needs to go within our commission, the group being the citizens. you know, because again, that's who we're supposed to be serving. We're public servants. And they've gotten away from that, man, especially my opponent. They're just doing things. He generally votes the way, specifically, the other guy that's up for re-election, John Mango, votes. And it's creating a logjam at the moment, and it's not what's best interest for our city. If they can honestly say that they're voting on behalf of the citizens from listening to the citizens, then that would be different. But that's not what's happening here, because if that was what was happening, trust me when I tell you, these people would not be coming out in droves asking me to run.
Last thing, I know earlier this year you briefly made a return to the ring with Impact Wrestling. You've already said that you are retired. Is there any chance of you ever coming back to the ring, or wrestling is definitely 100% in your rearview mirror?
It's in my rearview mirror, but it's also, you need to remember, like, I came back out of retirement because Impact was filming at Universal Studios again. They weren't on the road anymore. The day my son was born, I asked for my release from Impact Wrestling originally, because I now needed to be home, right? I needed to have a different job, but one that let me be home in the mornings, take him to daycare, and pick him up afterwards, and be around to be a dad, basically, right? Can't be on the road 5 days a week with a son with autism, I felt. And, not fair to my wife. And so, long story short, if there was a setup where, you know, Impact, you know, when I came out of retirement, the deal with them was kind of like a handshake deal with Jeff Jarrett, an agreement where as long as you guys are here at Universal and I can do all my filming of my segments on the weekends, I would love to be a part of this, you know, because I'm not missing work. I'm not missing being a father. In fact, it's even cooler because my son now could come watch, right? That was a big part of why I came back, because I want to see how my son took to it, because we watch it on TV all the time together. It's one of our bonding, the things that we bond over, you know, and then starts jumping up and down on the bed, wanting me to slam him, etc. But, you know, so it's like, I wanted him to see me wrestle in person, you know what I mean? Not have to watch it on YouTube. Like, oh, that's cool. That's what my dad used to do. You know, I wanted him to see it in person. And, at 3.5 years old, who knows what he really took in. I just knew he had a good time. And if TNA or Impact or Global Force Wrestling or whatever they are today was at Universal Studios and I could work out the same agreement where I would only be able to work on, you know, a Saturday or Sunday, you know, once a month or something like that, I would definitely would be, you know, interested in it. It just can't get in the way of my other responsibilities. So I don't ever want to say never, especially with the shape I'm in right now. I'm in the best shape I've ever been in my life, which I don't understand how I'm doing this at my age. Other than dieting, but I wish I had known about this dieting when I was wrestling.
Well, everybody can go online to follow more about you running for public office. It's MattMorganForLongwood.com. Once again, it's MattMorganForLongwood.com. The election here in Central Florida, Tuesday, November 7th, as you run for the city commission in Longwood and Seminole County. And I would encourage anybody that is in that area to please go out and vote. And I encourage anybody, wherever you are in the country, whenever there is an office, whether it's nationally or locally, please go out and vote. So, Matt, thanks for the time, and best of luck in your run for public office.
Hey, Brian, one quick last thing, if that's okay.
Sure.
I started my own company called Your Nutritional Blueprint.
Yeah.
Your Nutritional Blueprint. And it's literally Your Nutritional Blueprint based on what you're looking to do. It's a meal prep service that we deliver to all across the country. It is the most inexpensive meal preps per meal. It's $7 per meal. You can go to yournutritionalblueprint.com. You can check me out on my Instagram or Twitter and ask me questions about it as well. And we can create the diet that makes sense to you. Look at my pictures on Instagram. I post those for a reason, for motivation, you know, to show what I used to look like as a wrestler and what I'm looking like more and more every day today at 41 years old. And it's not the lifting. It's not the cardio. I swear to you, 90% of it for me has been my diet. And this is a very quick and easy fix for people that, you know, don't want to waste their entire, because people's reason they don't want to diet, do the Tupperware thing, because it ruins their entire Sunday. They spend half the day Sunday having to cook and put stuff in Tupperware. Here's your opportunity to have it done for you. And it's much cheaper than you go in the grocery store. If you do the math on what you would spend on eating 5 or 6 times a day, or even 4 times a day, I assure you, ours at $7 per meal is a lot cheaper. I planned it that way. I set it up that way because I used to use other companies and felt ripped off. This is $7 per meal. It's the best of the best as far as product value goes. All of our stuff is from the top-notch farms all across the country. We do not use meat companies, for instance. It's an important fact, you know. So grass-fed, you name it, chemical-free. So please check it out, guys, yournutritionalblueprint.com, and let us start creating your blueprint of a perfect body.
That's great, man. And thanks again for the time, man. I really appreciate it. And like I said, best of luck as you run for public office.
I really appreciate it. And everybody that's listening to us from Longwood, grab a friend, grab two friends, grab three friends that normally wouldn't vote, and wait for the bigger elections and get out there and vote, because this is the most pivotal election, in my opinion, in Longwood history. That's the general consensus here, guys. We need help from you right now to stand up to the bullying, to stand up to the career politicians, and finally put one of us in office, not a politician.
Okay, that will do it for the bonus podcast. Hope you enjoyed the conversation with Matt Morgan. Michael and I will be back for the weekly podcast on Wednesday night. We'll be talking more about TLC, where exactly WWE is going off of that. Let's see if I'm right in that they are going to remove Kurt Angle as the Raw GM. It's just a guess on my behalf, but we'll see. It would make sense, but we'll see if I'm right. Maybe they won't. Who knows what they're going to do? So we'll be talking about TLC and everything else going on in the week in wrestling. Please make sure that you rate and review the podcast, especially on iTunes. That helps us out a lot. And subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Google Play. You can find us on Blog Talk Radio. We're on the TuneIn app, Stitcher. Wherever you listen to a podcast, please make sure that you subscribe and rate and review the Between the Ropes podcast. That will do it. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. I'll talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.